He had learned that you could sleep on your feet on the long marches. You set your feet to going, and after a while they went by themselves, and you sort of turned your attention away, and your feet went on walking painlessly, almost without feeling. And gradually you closed down your eyes so that all you could see were the heels of the man in front of you. One heel, other heel. One heel, other heel. And so you moved on dreamily in the heat and the dust, closing your eyes against the sweat, head down and gradually darkening. So you actually slept with the sight of the heels in front of you, one heel, other heel, and often when the man in front of you stopped, you bumped into him. There were no heels today, but there was the horse he led by the reins. He did not know the name of this horse. He did not bother anymore. The horses were all dead too soon. Yet you learned to love it. Isn't that amazing? Long marches and no rest, up very early in the morning and asleep late in the rain, and there's a marvelous excitement to it, a joy to wake in the morning and feel the army all around you, and see the campfires in the morning and smell the coffee. Awake all night in front of Fredericksburg. We attacked in the afternoon, just at dusk, and the stone wall was aflame from one end to the other. Too much smoke, couldn't see. The attack failed, couldn't withdraw. Lay there all night in the dark and the cold among the wounded and dying. Piled up bodies in front of you to catch the bullets, using the dead for a shield. Remember the sound? Of bullets and dead bodies? Like a shot into a rotten leg. A wet, thick leg. All a man is, wet leg of blood. Remember the flap of a torn curtain in a blasted window, fragment whispering in that awful breeze. Never, forever, never, forever. You have a professor's mind, but that is the way it sounded. Never, forever. Love that too? Not love it. Not quite. And yet, I was never so alive. Maine is silent and cold. Maine in the winter. Air is darker. The sky is a deeper dark. A darkness comes with winter that these southern people don't know. Snow falls so much earlier, and in the winter you can walk in a snowfield among bushes, and visitors don't know that the bushes are the tops of tall pines, and you're standing in 30 feet of snow. Visitors. Once, long ago, visitors in the dead of winter, a preacher preaching hellfire, scared the fool out of me, and I resented it, and Pa said I was right. Pa. When he thought of the old man, he could see him suddenly in a field in the spring, trying to move a gray boulder. He always knew instinctively the ones you could move, even though the greater part was buried in the earth, and he expected you to move the rock and not discuss it. A hard and silent man, an honest man, a noble man. Little humor, but sometimes the door opened and you saw the warmth within, a long way off. A certain sadness, a slow, remote, unfathomable quality, as if the man wanted to be closer to the world but did not know how. Once Chamberlain had a speech memorized from Shakespeare and gave it proudly, the old man listening but not looking, and Chamberlain remembered it still. What a piece of work is man, in action how like an angel. And the old man, grinning, had scratched his head and then said stiffly, "Well, boy, if he's an angel, he's sure a murdering angel." And Chamberlain had gone on to school to make an oration on the subject, "Man, the killer angel." And when the old man heard about it, he was very proud, and Chamberlain felt very good remembering it. The old man was proud of his son, the colonel of infantry. What would he have thought of the speech this morning? Home and mother. Mother wanted me to be a parson. Vincent picked me. Me! To lead the regiment. Folks back home will know by now. Commander of the regiment. Why me? What did Vincent see?